which is definitely worth them.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you all?
Good.
Doing good.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. Happy New Year.
Thanks to you. Happy New Year.
So, as we start out many times, what's on your mind, and what can I do for you this morning?
Well, we want to get the program up and started again. So, it's kind of a good timing to do this in January, so we could just, and you can guide us along. You know, we're almost ready. We have to, we have to get our folders compliance approved, and we're very close in that, but we've got about 45 of them ready to go out. So, and those are all our, true Supernova clients. So that, hopefully we can get that done in the next week.
Okay.
As an update, Rob, we left Morgan Stanley in September to Raymond James, which is where we are now. And so now that we've got our clients moved over these past few months, and been crazy busy, but now we're ready to get back on the horse. And we've got Supernova up in the room right now, Sam and me and our assistant, Thomas.
Hey, Rob.
Hi. Welcome.
So we've got our calendar nicely put together. We've got folders ready. So we're kind of almost back to getting this started from square one over here. And we just need you to coach us in the how we get this back up and operating like we used to.
Okay, so you guys know Supernova, and you know your business. So what do you think is missing that I can help with?
Well, the biggest thing for me is that, we had about $175 million in assets. A lot of it was still dead assets, that we didn't cut or whatever, And there were some accounts that couldn't move over. So of the 175, we have a core of $120 million that moved over. So obviously, we can't hit our gross numbers, our revenue numbers, by staying at $120 million. So I guess our biggest, I would say our biggest goal for the next year, 2 years, is, to get us back up to 175, but to, revenue producing, not debt. So we kind of purged the book as we moved over.
Yeah, I think you probably, there's a couple ways of purging the book, right? You can do it in the firm you're at, or you can just move and leave them. It's like, just don't call. And so you end up being kind of efficient. So I had you guys at around 250 clients, going down to 228, going down to 150. So how many clients do you have now?
We have about 100.
Okay.
And I would say, but if we, if we pull up the true number, it's about 135. But there's, I would say there's probably 30 custodians,
butlers.
Like butler accounts. So,
yeah.
Just like Supernova, or not even, there's some of them that don't qualify 100% for Supernova, but they're close. So I would say, but no more than 100.
Okay. So, how many clients will each of you handle then? How will it break down?
It's pretty much like 50-50, I would say. Abby might have a little bit more. I think I have some bigger relationships. So I probably have a little less than clients than her.
Okay.
And a lot of my clients like the that touch, that contact. So I can see, the team is going to be busy on my clients, I think, a little more than Sam's. But I think Sam's right. I think it's about maybe a roughly half and half. And he always helps me with my clients anyway. Some of them actually prefer talking to him.
Yep, from time to time, and for different things. That's the thing, you know, it's interesting. Like, they may want to talk to you about bonds or financial planning or stocks and vice versa, you know. You guys are going to have slightly different appeals to different clients. So it's, you know, I don't know that answer, but you do. You know, why does such and such want to talk to me? It's because, well, I talk more about stocks, or I talk more about bonds, or I talk more about financial planning. So it's, you know, that's a good thing. That's the leverage of teams. You want to be there. Yeah, that's the leverage of teams. Okay, so you're down to, let's say 100 clients, which is roughly 50 clients each. That allows you to do 12-4-2 and have about two and a half appointments a day, or, you know, some days are two, some days are three, leaving you literally with 50% of your time available to grow if that's in fact what you want to do. Now, my suggestion would be, you know, don't go grow beyond 70 clients each. Keep it at about 70, because you're going to like the fact that you only have these clients. I mean, they're going to generate 80-90% of your revenues anyway, if not more. And in order to grow, which it sounded like, Sam, that sounds like what you want, you need the time. You can't be bogged down in calling clients if you're really going to spend time growing. Is that what I'm hearing, that you want to grow now?
Yeah, and, you know, like, we've built this in different ways over the years, and, you know, the market continues to change. The marketplace changes over time, you know? So,
sure.
I mean, I think that I don't want to fall back into the old way of just, you know, throwing the spaghetti against the wall to see what sticks, you know. I really want it to be pretty concentrated and laser focused on what we're looking for, because otherwise we can go down a lot of rabbit trails, and, you know, all that's going to do is increase the amount of work, but it's not really going to increase the revenue that much.
Right. You know, I just had a very senior team who just does very well, you know, similar situation, and they told me, I said, so what are you going to do marketing-wise, right? I give you seven different strategies to use in marketing, all very targeted for high-net-worth clients, and they said, we're going to do six seminars. And I'm like, okay, thinking to myself, that makes no sense. None. I mean, why would you do that when your minimums are 2 million? I mean, who are the seminars for? Do people with 2 million and plus go to seminars? I don't think so. So that's the part I don't want you to do. I don't want you to, you know, go back and do what you did when you were getting started.
Right.
You want to think, how do we get our best clients, and then how do we do more of that?
Yeah.
Okay, so you get your best clients. My guess, why don't you answer that? Where do you get your best clients? Or how do you get
them? I would think a referral from an existing client.
Right.
The community. Doing things and being known in the community that that's what we do, and having people, you know, from church, they would then have that connection. Where else would we get high net worth people? Where else do you see teams getting high net worth clients?
You're answering it exactly the way that everybody gets their clients. It's getting known and trusted in your community through organizations that you join, like the church and like other organizations that you volunteer for. It's through your existing clients. It's through centers of influence. And the people that do it well then turn those from being haphazard, occasionally getting an introduction from existing clients, into a process. And that's the key, is process. Just like Supernova is process, acquiring new relationships needs to become a process that isn't haphazard, that's organized and is taken as seriously as your 12-4-6. Because the more you do it, the better it will work, assuming you're doing it right and with the right organization.
And maybe two things we can start doing is building our center of influence, and looking back in the book and seeing exactly on how you teach it to us, and going back and creating our center of influence, and then taking extra care to some of our better clients, and having some take them out to dinner or whatever to be able to have them introduce people to us.
Right. So, just to support all this, we're going to, we have the website with the, on the website we have different presentations that we've done on each of the seven areas of acquisition. So we've got webinars on there. But I'm also coming, I probably mentioned this, but I'm coming out with a book that focuses on these seven initiatives. We call it the Supernova Multiplier, and that will be coming out February 5th or 6th, right there. So that is available on Amazon. It should be on Kindle and ready to go. So that is a great supplement, because when I have a conversation, I can't cover everything. I can't give you all the stories, and stories are in there about other people like yourself that have taken one of these ideas and really run with it. And so it's very helpful in terms of convincing you that these ideas are worth pursuing and then exactly how to do it. I haven't left anything out of the book. I put all the secrets in there.
Yeah. So it's called the Supernova Multiplier.
Multiplier, yes.
Okay.
So I did it for just this purpose, because I can't explain everything to you on every call. And even when I explain it, that doesn't mean you've got it. You may hear it, but you need to hear it 4 or 5 times. Before you really get it. And that's human learning. That's not your fault. It's not my fault. It's just the way humans learn. It takes a while for them to get it. So this way you can reread it and listen to, when you get it on audio, you can listen to it and so forth. And that I find is the best way to teach. So this was a missing piece. The Supernova Advisor was great for getting people to understand how to get organized and stay organized, but it was kind of light in the acquisition part of the business, and this is going to be very detailed on that. So it's everything I've learned in the last 12 years of coaching FAs and teaching, and all the best stories from all those experiences.
That's good.
I think that's
very, very timely.
Yeah.
Very good idea. While we're driving in the car to and from, we could be listening to you. And I like that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it'll be good. So that's exciting news for the new year. And but I think, we want to go back, and the two easiest ways to get clients are, number one, from centers of influence. That's the easiest way. I mean, those are people that you already have on your books that are centers of influence that like you and trust you and send you a few clients anyway. You just want to look and see who are my natural centers of influence. People that like, they don't need to be CPAs and attorneys. They're just people. and they send you good people. But you need to treat them, you kind of give them a double dose of your best self in order to encourage them to give you more. Meaning, you know, you just schedule them in to take them to lunch and take them to dinner and do fun things with them and make better friends of them. You know, there's one thing that I learned, which is really kind of simple and sort of obvious, but the people that get the most introductions from clients and centers of influence have made really good friends with them. So it isn't just having a professional relationship. It's being friends. And that's kind of weird in the sense of, you know, I remember people saying to me, I don't do business with friends. I'm like, whoa, how can you, well, your clients are going to become your friends, so then what, are you going to have to fire them?
Right.
And then your friends, of course, trust you, so why wouldn't you help them? You're not selling poison, you know, you're selling your best self. They know you're not perfect, but of course you're going to do business with friends.
That's how you build. It goes such a long way to go out to dinner with a couple or, you know, just taking them individually to lunch. I mean, it's really powerful.
Yeah, it's so simple, but, you know, it's sort of obvious, but, and you don't need a lot of these folks. You know, if they run in the right circles and they really like you, they're going to give you 4 or 5 introductions a year. And that can be enough. You know, you get 4 or 5 of those people, that's it. That's all you need.
Yep.
So think about it. You know, make a list of your centers of influence that are your natural centers of influence already.
Right.
And then kind of build a plan for each one of them. On what are we going to do for him to make him feel even better about us. Okay, so that becomes, and I go so far as to make a folder, a separate folder for them as a center of influence. And then in that folder, of course, is introductions given and received. And remember, even if they're not a CPA, you can help them with your enthusiastically endorsed list. So that's the other thing I would do is to dust off that enthusiastically endorsed list and start rebuilding that golden roller deck.
Yeah.
Because, you know, one of the things that you can be is a grand connector, meaning you connect people, you just connect people. When your client says he needs something, you say, oh, I've got a guy. Would you be interested in an introduction to him? And you go, and he goes, sure, I'd love that. Okay, and that can be neighborhood, you know, exclusive, meaning, you know, it's a certain part of town, you know, you're not going to get a gardener or a roofer or something else that's, you know, going from city to city, so it can be village exclusive or community exclusive for that particular niche, but that
sure,
can be...
You're right. I know, for sure. People are looking for referrals for different services and things every single day.
Every single day. And if you're the guy that they know really does your homework and talks to a lot of people, and you become kind of the professional Angie Flip. And, you know, people don't bother going to Angie Flip. They call their friends. They call their, who do you use? You know, who? I need a new roof. Who do you recommend? Well, this is the guy. You know, he's fair, he's the right price, but he's also really good. and he stands behind his work. And that's what people are looking for.
Yeah.
And they don't differentiate that much. I mean, they appreciate any introduction. You think, well, they only want an introduction to a CPA. No, no, they don't. They want an introduction to all the things they need. I mean, if your child is going to school, like my granddaughter is, my daughter's in Nashville, and she's new to Nashville. She needs help, right? There's so many options.
Right.
So she's, you know, she's really struggling with her. And having somebody that has, you know, been through it, you know, their kids all went through it, their friends went through it, they can look back and say, hey, here's your three options. You know, these are the three best situations based on me knowing you. And, you know, tell me about what you want and do the profile thing, but then you know that there's three good options. So that can be a huge help to, you know, to me and, you know, and a lot of times, you know that, right? I'm the client, but my daughter is like the most important person in the world. And then my granddaughter, of course, is the next most important person in the world. You take care of them, I'm eternally grateful to you.
Yeah.
Right? It isn't. It's a lot more important. It takes care of a lot of, you know, we call it the bank of trust, right? You make a lot of deposits in the bank of trust, and every time you do something that you say you're going to do, you put a deposit in the bank of trust, and you help them out, and that goes in the bank of trust. And then when we have bad markets like we just had, and things don't go perfectly, and maybe you screwed something up, they don't fire you. They just, you know, they understand. You've got a lot of trust built up.
Right.
And that's what all this, people say, how do you get more introductions? I said, make more friends.
Good.
You know, make really good friends and take really good care of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, think about if the whole world listened to that and did it, what a great world we'd have.
Yeah. You know, what you just sparked in me is like, you know, like I have clients that live in outside of New York City, and I don't get up there that often, but, you know, they've been paying me $30,000 to $40,000 a year for the last 15 years, you know, and I haven't seen them in maybe 5 years, you know. So that really sparks, you know, a thing that I need to go see them and take them out to dinner and just get caught up on their personal lives.
And Sam, if you do it a couple times, I mean, if you do it, you know, you can package them together, set it up so that your calling schedule has those people all together. So, you know, for example, you'd put on your schedule, you'd put one of them Monday morning at 9, then one at noon, and one at 3, okay? And then the next day, let's say you get 6 people, right? And then the next day would be 9, 12, and 3. And what you do is then when you travel up there, you got 9, 12, and 3. 9, 12, and 3. So you see all 6 at the same time. And
right.
So it's not such a, you know, it's not such a burden on you, and that's your regular calling schedule.
Yep.
So it makes sense, and that's why we go 12-4-2, not 12-4. You know, the two are in person, and that's to build the relationship, because if you have 4 clients in New York or 6 clients in New York, why can't you have 12, right? Every one of them gives you an introduction, and they know a million people. You know, you only want one introduction. I'm telling you, if you go all the way up there and you're that kind to them, they're going to give you an introduction, and it's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
I like that idea. We need to be doing them. You're right, because all of our clients in New York are probably...
But can we wait until spring?
Heck yeah. Yeah, I don't recommend, you know, and one of the, you know, if they come to Florida, then seeing in Florida, you know. You know, have them come by or go see them while they're in Florida. I don't recommend you kill yourself. I don't.
No,
certainly don't go in. Yeah, don't go in the winter.
That's a good idea, though. Treat our better clients the way they deserve to be treated. And then, you know, growing will come naturally. And that's very good advice. Now, in your book, it says that centers of influence, we should have six max. Is that kind of a something because you're going to be spending time with them? Is that kind of the reason for just the six max?
Yeah, here's the, these are professional centers of influence. You know, these would be, here's the way I recommend it. This is a this has kind of evolved over time, right? That when you start to actually work with these and see how people do it. When we recommend, let's say CPA, that's the one most commonly used. When we recommend a CPA, you need to recommend three different ones. And I recommend you do that, by the way, because it protects you from the rogue CPA that goes bad or whatever. So from a compliance point of view, it's important. So here's what I recommend, that you have three CPAs. One is, we'll use a baseball analogy, one's at bat. That's the one that you see as much as you can, hopefully on a monthly basis. And you share business, and you really are working very closely with them. You're not sharing revenues, but share just referrals and introductions. You're really working together. Then you have one on deck, and that one would be you meet with them quarterly, and then you have one in the dugout that you meet twice a year with. So you're always ready to replace the guy at bat if he gets hit. You know, if he retires or, you know, he goes rogue on you or something happens, you can replace him pretty quickly with one on deck. And then you put one more in the dugout, you just keep moving him up. I recommend that you do that with your primary folks that you need to use. Meaning you need to have a good CPA all the time to recommend. You need to have a good estate planning attorney that you recommend. So I would do the same thing. One at bat, one on deck, and one in the dugout. The CPA, and so you've got an estate planning attorney, and you need another attorney that, you know, a general law attorney for people that have problems, right? Probably a good law firm that would have multiple attorneys for different things, for settling sale of businesses, settling real estate, settling situations, you know, tort law and all kinds of things. And then I would have a commercial real estate, a realtor. Nobody has a center of influence as a commercial realtor. But all your businesses need them. You don't need them, but they need it, okay? And so it's a good opportunity for you to refer somebody, and they know everybody in the community. They know all the people moving in, and they know the people moving out. So they know everything about what's going on in business. And then a residential real estate person, a real high-end residential realtor, is another great center of influence, because they know everybody in the community, what's happening, who's moving in and out, CEOs moving in and out, and so the good ones are really good. So those are, what did I give you, four? Those are four. You can come up with maybe a business broker, would be five, and then, you know, pick a six. But the idea is that these be very, very specialized people and very high end, where their clients' minimums would be the same as your minimum. I heard for the first time the other day that a CPA firm maxed their FA their CPAs out at 50 clients each. I've never heard of that. I heard it for the first time, which makes sense, but, you know, a lot of them will have 200 clients or 300. So it's just a nightmare. They give no service.
Right.
Right.
So what would you recommend as far as, you know, people that we don't have, you know, we don't have any contacts with? So, like, if somebody's like a business broker, I mean, do you go prospecting for different or interviewing different business brokers?
Yeah, it's a perfect, Sam, it's a great question. It's a great opportunity. So what do you what's the question you ask? Remember, we're asking all our clients these questions on the Enthusiastically Endorsed list. That we circle back to that, right? So the question is, you ask all your business owners, do you have a business broker? No. Interesting. Okay. Would you like to meet one? Yes, I'd love one. Not now, but when I need one, yes. Okay. So eventually you're going to run into somebody that knows a business broker, right? They sell a bunch of businesses. Or you start to just ask everybody, do you know a good business broker? Ask your CPA, ask your attorney. Who do you use? How do you do it? Well, we do it. Okay. You know, we do all that at the law firm. Okay. The CPA says we do that. Okay. How do you do it? Da, da, da. That, by the way, becomes a fabulous mastermind group. A group of people that come together to help businesses and business owners to get themselves ready for sale. We have one of those in Indianapolis. I met with a CPA that Cindy Bowie, my associate, works with, and he's got a group that helps businesses get ready to be sold and then helps them be sold. And it's really interesting. And that would be a fabulous group for you to be a part of. So how do you find them? You ask, just whenever you're stuck with how do I do this, go to the advice question, which is asking your clients for their advice on the answer that you're trying to get. So many times when you have a question, think of, okay, why don't I ask for some advice? Not just asking me, but ask my clients. And so if you're thinking about getting on a board, for example, that's one of the things that you guys do well and you should do more of. We all should. So the question becomes, how do I know what boards to join? The answer is you ask your client. I'm thinking about getting more involved in the community. If you got a minute, I'd like to talk about things you've been involved in and see if there's any recommendations that you have for organizations that I should join. And it's a great conversation. And that's how you do it. They'll recommend somebody, and then you set up a... And I go through that in the book in detail on exactly how to do it.
Yeah, that's good.
We need that book.
Yeah, 2 days. Not too many.
Okay.
Been waiting 3 years. If you've ever written a book, it's really hard, especially if you're ADD, it's really hard. So I, you know, did it, and then I worked on it, and then I go back to it, and then I put it aside, and then I work on it. But the good news is that when you take 3 years to write something, you have lots and lots of experiences that happen during that time, and so you write them all down as they happen. And so it's not just me thinking of things at one point in my life. It was over a long period of time thinking of those things. And, you know, and then testing them out and asking the questions. And then, you know, if there was something missing from a chapter, I'd go and work on it and read. And so it gave me a lot of time to do it right. So I think it's done, you know, it's done pretty well. I had one guy read it and he said, oh yeah, it's twice as good as your last book. Three times as good. Four times. I hope it is. We'll see.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be applicable. So, you know, you're going to get steps and actionable type of tips. And that's what I'm looking forward to, how we can take some of those ideas to build what we were trying to accomplish.
Now, it's perfect for you guys because it picks up right where you are. Right, you've got to organize now. You've got Supernova. You understand it. You got your folders. You don't need me anymore for that. What you need me for is the acquisition piece, and the book is the best way for us. Because once you read it and you read a chapter on mastermind groups, then we can have a robust conversation about it because you've read it and you've got all my brain power in there. And all the different brain powers that I put together, and now you can ask good questions about it that you couldn't quite get from the chapter, and we can have a great conversation about it. And I'm not teaching you the stuff for the first time. You know, that's so helpful for me.
Hey, is that going to be on Audible?
The Audible is going to take a little... It's not going to be right away on Audible.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm in discussion with them. They want, you know, they want to do the Audible, and I want to do the Audible, so I haven't figured that one out yet. But it will be on Kindle, and you're creating a sense of urgency for me to take care of the Audible piece, because I can do that pretty quick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Good.
So you're enthusiastically endorsing us to get more enthusiastic about what we're doing here.
Good. That's my job. Build your confidence. Part of what Supernova does is build people's confidence so they'll have the courage to go and do the things that they're uncomfortable doing. And so that's what we want you to do is, you know, all these things take courage and they're easy to procrastinate, but they all work. So the question is, which is the best fit for you? And then, you know, how do we develop the skills so that you're really comfortable? And I think, you know, that you'll like it. You've got the skills already. You can do all this stuff, but it's just the courage and the, you know, taking that step. But, dust off that enthusiastically endorsed list and put that on the agenda for every person that you call. And start to knock out those whiffs. Can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA, your attorney, your business broker, your realtor? I don't have a realtor. I don't have a business broker. Good. And you notice. If you ever need one, call me, because I've got a list of enthusiastically endorsed professionals, and business brokers are on that list. And so you become the, you know, the central, Grand Central Station for all professionals in your community. So they call you first.
Yeah, in the book, we actually have a list of some of those possible enthusiastically endorsed kinds of professions, and so we can go and get that and see how we can't fill some of this in.
Right. Right, and it's in your workbook, too. I gave you, it's in, let's see, I'm guessing it's on page 60. Nope.
60, yeah, I found it.
Okay. Good. All right, guys, great to be here. Great to have you back, and look forward to many good discussions here.
Yep, sounds good.
We are
you.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
Okay, thanks.
Talk to you next
time. Bye-bye. Yeah, we'll do. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.